Because obviously the big question that emerges from this amazing ocean census is, well, what will happen in the future? Here's what some of the other speakers at the census conference had to say on that.
I think one of the key things we've done in the census is to identify some of the key unknowns. And perhaps equally as importantly, Nancy Knowlton, my colleague, used the analogy of flashlights in a dark house. So we have flashlights now where we've looked around a lot of the house and we know where many things are, but we haven't really turned on the lights yet. But with these technologies, we really have the capacity to move forward on that ground. And again, we know what some of the key gaps are, and so we can move forward. But I would say that many of us need to catch our breath, and so we need to digest what we have and then plan how to move forward, because there is still lots of discovery ahead.
How will the future look like? It will be different. It will be different from what we have collectively documented and detailed in the first census of marine life. This will be a baseline against which rapid future change will be measured. There's two scenarios that I would like to contrast. One is a world or a place in which the intensity of fishing, the spread of habitat destruction, and the velocity of climate change is increasing the rate of biodiversity loss that we're already observing today. Where this will happen, we will see a reduction in biodiversity along with a reduction in the services this biodiversity provides, such as our food supply, water quality, and other economic opportunities in the oceans that we still have to discover. On the other side, where we're investing in a concerted effort into rebuilding and management measures that allow biodiversity to flourish again, for example, in protected areas or through wise fisheries management, we do see biodiversity increase again, and with it, the services it provides. So this is not a scientist's pipe dream. This is actually something we have already documented happening as far back as 100 years ago, but also today at an increasing pace. We're trying to take care of what is left and rebuild what we have lost.
I define myself as an angry optimist. Now, if I weren't optimistic, I couldn't do what I do. And there are bright spots there that we can replicate. There are marine protected areas that we set aside where marine life comes back, and then the fish reproduce and replenish nearby areas, helping fisheries, bringing dollars to the local economy through tourism. Most of the species are still there. Some are in very low numbers, but they are still there, so we still have a chance.
That was Paul Snellgrove, Boris Worm and Enrique Sala sharing their thoughts on the future of the oceans and the census of marine life. And it's also been announced that later in the year at another marine conference in Scotland, researchers will be looking into the possibilities for a second census of marine life. So we'll be keeping out an eye for that and watch this space to see what happens next.
Well, that would be really exciting because I guess all they focused on in this particular census was the animals. So there's always the potential for all the plant life as well. And I mean, there's still so much more to discover. So definitely a second census of marine life would be a good thing.